We'll explain how our phone numbers tell a lot about us. I'm David Brancaccio. A security researcher has found a database with hundreds of millions of phone numbers linked to Facebook accounts. Facebook is quoted as saying it was an older database from before the social media and advertising giant changed policy and stopped tying accounts to phone numbers. The publication TechCrunch says it was 419 million phone numbers, but Facebook says there are many duplicates and the number is closer to half that. We check in this morning with Michelle Richardson, director for the Center for Democracy and Technology's Privacy and Data Project. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, when you see hundreds of millions of records of Facebook users, including a lot of phone numbers exposed, I suppose you could say, well, at least it's not Social Security numbers. How big a privacy breach is it to post phone numbers or for phone numbers to be out there vulnerable?
It's a serious concern the way we use our cell phone numbers now. It is widely used by consumers to verify their identity, to log into accounts, to get reward systems. And it's something that we keep with us for a very long time, possibly a lifetime now. So unlike some other data sets that may come and go or change over time, our phone number is going to be with us for a very long time. People are going to be unlikely to change it for that reason.
Now, Facebook points out that it's an older database that predates the change of policy at Facebook. It no longer links Facebook accounts to phone numbers. But still, there may be an overall lesson here?
Yes. The problem with data breaches like this is that once they're out there, you can't pull them back. And even if Facebook makes internal changes to better use that data, it's now available to criminals and hackers who can use that as another vector to get at someone's personal information. And it's a good example of how important it is to prevent the breaches in the first place, because you just can't unring that bell once the data gets out. The effect of all the breaches is cumulative. Over time, the more information that is out there, the more complete picture a criminal or a hacker will have on an individual. And so this adds up over time and makes it easier for people to exploit our information and combine it in ways that are more useful to them.
Michelle Richardson is director of the Privacy and Data Project at the Center for Democracy and Technology. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now to new government data on the future of the American workforce. Let's check in on this with Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Hi there.
Good morning.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics has some interesting new data about the workforce of the future. And it says, yeah, about every year, the workforce will grow by 0.5%. Is that a lot or a little?
That's a very little, and the reason that it's slowing down is because we have aging demographics. So it's starting to, people retiring out is starting to hold down our projections of what employment growth can be.
Now, the government data shows a cool job to have in the future is, for instance, information security analyst. It pays just under 100 grand a year. We need 35,000 more of those as we move forward. But by far, the two job categories that we need the most of between now and 2028 are home health aide and personal care aide. But the median salary is $24,000 a year, not much.
Exactly. And this is, again, reflective of the demographics. They're looking at what can't robots do. They can't do some things humans can do, and that is caring for people. And what's really hard about the labor market right now is we're having a lot of growth in very high-wage jobs and in very low-wage jobs. But many of those low-wage jobs used to be middle-income-earning jobs, and that's what's difficult. It also is an area where immigrants used to fill these jobs, and we don't have them, so we have a lot of shortages of those kinds of workers.
I always look forward every week to talking to Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A law in Texas has just taken effect that creates tougher penalties for people who steal from mailboxes and porches. It's not about how valuable the theft is. It's about how many boxes were stolen. From KUT in Austin, Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Last year, Paul Tice had some running shoes sent to his house in Dallas.
And I got a notice that one of the packages had been delivered. So when I got home, I looked for it, and it wasn't there.
He called FedEx and they sent him a photo, proving that at least for a while, the package was on his porch. So he ended up getting a refund from the shoe company.
The company that had shipped me the shoes, it was great that they refunded it. It worked out for me, but it didn't really work out for them.
And this new Texas law is trying to make sure it doesn't work out for the thieves either. If you steal packages, you might be looking at a felony charge, even if the thing in those boxes was just a bunch of toilet paper. That is, if you steal from enough houses. Hit 10 houses, you could be charged with a low-level felony. 50, you're looking at a first-degree felony. State Representative Gene Wu of Houston supports the new law.
It's the violation of that sort of like safe place that we care about more so than the actual item that's in the package.
Some argue this new law doesn't do anything to solve the root problem of package theft. And simply elevating the penalties will only send more people into the state's already crowded prison system. Stuart Green is a law professor at Rutgers. He gives Texas lawmakers credit for addressing a growing problem, but
it's probably not going to have an effect. I mean, if you were inclined to steal mail from somebody's porch before facing 6 months in prison, are you really going to change your behavior just because now there might be a potentially longer prison sentence?
Paul Tice doesn't want any more of his running shoes ripped off. He just hopes the new law persuades thieves to change their behavior.
If you do it 10 times, I'm sorry, man. God, I don't care what the value was. You shouldn't be going on people's property and stealing their things.
He says the theft won't change his shopping habits. He just hopes all his packages will still be there when he gets home. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.